You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. That was me, and this is me. But this is me live. So, hi, everyone. I'm Luann Linnegan, and I'm with
James Rich.
And you're listening to WCNO. It's 5 p.m. on a Friday, and we are Kingdom Recovery, and we're happy to be here with you guys. I'm happy to be back. I was in New York for a while for a baby shower. It was fun and exciting. And Pastor Tom was here, and so I got some good news from the Good News Station from listeners, and they were reaching out, trying to find out how to hear more of what Pastor Tom teaches and preaches. So you can go on Treasure Coast Victory Center website, mytcvc.com, or and then you can listen to sermons and teachings. I'm on it. You know, whoever teaches on Wednesdays, and James is on it. So we have some teachings there too. So if you want to hear more about what Pastor Tom teaches, please just go on. You can always reach me at 631-745-7980 if you'd like more information. And we do, Pastor Tom has written some books, and I can get them to you. So if you'd like that, you can reach out to me too. So, or you can call the station, 772-221-1100, and they will give you my information. Okay? If you didn't have a pen, just call the station. Say, I need Luann's number, and they're free to give it. Okay, so back on track, So we've been talking about the 12 steps. We're up to step 3. We did a little intro before I left, so we're going to do a little recap of an intro. But step 1 is crying out, admitting that we're powerless and our life became unmanageable, and that is step 1. So we need to cry out to God. It's a cry out. I know I did. I cried out for help. I cried out desperately, not knowing at the time that that's what I was doing. It wasn't something that I consciously said, this is something I need to do. It's a step I need to take. No, I believe it's the way we're designed is when we're broken enough, we're designed to cry out to God. You know, like, it seems like that. Even when we're not, even non-believers, I believe, cry out to God. They might not know it, but they're doing it, you know, for help. So, and also step 2 is come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. So I've been insane until I can come to, which is being born again and receiving the Holy Spirit indwelling in me so that he can lead and guide me and teach me and change, transform the old way of thinking, not the spirit man. My spirit man is whole, new, has everything he needs, I need, in order to fulfill God's plan and purpose for my life. He supplied me fully with all my gifts, and that's why step 3 is so important, because it's about faith. So step 1 is about honesty. Step 2 is about hope. When I went into the rooms, or when I went to rehab, or when I, whatever it is that I turned my life over, when I stopped smoking, when I stopped biting my nails, when I, all these little things, when I stopped cursing and I didn't even try, it was just something the Holy Spirit did. There were I mean, of course, in my heart, I hope that I can learn and speak properly. Maybe there was, you know, part of me that was like, you know, didn't feel like I could ever not talk the way I talked. And then the miracles happen because God knows our heart. He knows what we're hoping for. He knows how to lead us and guide us into truth. And that's where our faith comes in. So faith is step three. And without faith, I cannot turn my will and my life over to the care of God. So it takes hope. When I walked into those rooms, when I walked into meetings, when I went into therapy, I had hope that something can change in my life. That I didn't have to, even though I didn't believe it at the time. I thought it was like, you know, impossible. But I did have hope. If those people can do it, then there's a possibility I might be able to live life without certain things in my, you know, that I thought were pleasure things that were hurting me and killing me. They were harmful things. So, and that's why it's so important that we just keep coming back. Even if you're getting high, even if you're cursing, even if you're, you know, dressing inappropriately, just keep showing up. God will straighten it out. He meets us where we're at. And that's where step three is in. It's turn my will and my life over to the care of God. God will care for you. And we were talking about the week before I left, we talked about Saul, who was Paul, and how he loved the Lord. He loved God. He loved God. He knew the Torah. He believed. He actually was in his heart, believed that what he was doing was for the cause of loving God, you know, and you got to think about it. Like in those days, you know, that's what he learned. That's what he knew. That's what he was hoping and faithing in. What he, you know, sometimes we could faith in the wrong thing, the wrong way, right? So, I mean, I faithed in substances in the world, people, places, and things. And every time they let me down, it never fulfilled me. It never filled me or fulfilled me. So, and he was met by God on the road to Damascus. And then he turned his life towards Jesus and followed Jesus. Today we're going to talk about Cornelius, because Cornelius is the first Roman soldier, Gentile, that God, even though the Romans were believing in gods, you know, but he was a devout believer, and God knew that he had a heart to revere and to love and to give. So God met him where he was at and sent the angel of light to tell him to send for Peter. I'm sure Peter was like very confused, but that's when he had the vision that, you know, we don't separate ourselves anymore. So he went there. But it says in Acts 10:2-4, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Okay, so, you know, we were talking earlier, you and I, James, about honoring. He was honoring. He was living in line with kingdom principles, you know. So God was able to hear his prayers, and, you know, he was in line with God's blessings and being poured out, so that he was able to get a messenger. It's like when I pray for someone, you know, I pray that they get clarity or revelation when I'm praying, because it's not up to me, you know, for them to, you know, they have to be in agreement. They have to get some kind of revelation or desire to want to accept something in their life differently than what they've been doing, you know? So when the angel of God came to him, he sent for Peter, and he was saved, and the whole family. His whole family. And Peter ministered, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. They all were.
Amen.
Amen, amen. So Peter knew knew on this rock I will build my church was the faith in who Jesus is. Peter is not the rock. It's the rock of knowing who Jesus is, the Messiah. Jesus is the rock.
And it's the rock of revelation.
Rock
because
of
said, revelation. Yeah, he said, flesh and blood has not shown you this.
That's right.
You know, this revelation.
That's right.
Father.
Amen.
So he said, upon this rock of revelation, right. I'll build my church.
Amen. Amen. And that, and revelation is tied up with even like the substance of things not seen, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, I know that I know now. I don't have to see it. It's hard to see a lot of the kingdom of heaven in the natural, but in the heart, it's very, he's, you know, the kingdom is real. It's in us. So Matthew 16:15-19 says, he said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. The flesh and the blood has not revealed, there you go, James, this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And that, like James says, on the rock of revelation of who Jesus Christ is, the faith of Jesus, in Jesus. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we have the power and authority, Jesus' power and authority in us to declare and to petition to loosen and bind things here on earth. God cannot do it without our agreeing with him. He wants us to, but you see, we can loosen and bind things. We're doing that all the time, but they're not good for us, you know? Mm-hmm. But when we line up with the king's decrees and his will, you see how your life flows a lot easier, a lot better, a lot peaceful, more peaceful. Even though there's chaos, don't get me wrong, things happen. There's such a sense of peace that surpasses all understanding through the chaos, in the midst of turmoil. You have an assurance that peace is with you. Strength is with you. Love is with you. Support is with you. Healing is with you. He's always with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Praise the Lord.
He can just give you supernatural comfort too, beyond your understanding.
That's right. Amen. Well, so, go ahead, James.
His Holy Spirit's the comforter.
Mm-hmm. And he lives in you. How exciting is that? You know, we're always looking out here to get some kind of comfort. Meanwhile, it's right inside you. He's there, waiting for you to draw near to him. So no other God. God aches to find a way into each life and heart and for everyone to cry out to him. So he needs us to invite him. He needs us to call on him. He's not going to force himself on our life, in our life, upon our life, because then he would be a forceful God, ruler. And that's not who he is, you know. 1 Timothy 2:1-4 says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, the kings and for all kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires, this is his desire, all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth. So that's the faith, is the knowledge of the truth. That's the movement. Stop moving in the movement, right? That was the movement that they were so radical about. I mean, think about how radical it was, what they were doing. In that time, you know, it wasn't like, say it the Lord anymore. It was be healed in Jesus' name. You know, how radical is that? Because they were so, for thousands and thousands of years, they were used to one way. And it's the same thing with us. You know, we're born into sin. We're born into brokenness, okay? And that's why every individual, I don't care if you have a pastor as a parent or you grew up in the church, none of that means anything until you turn your life over to the care of God individually. It doesn't matter. I mean, believe me, I have a kid that I raised as a saved woman filled with the Holy Spirit following Jesus Christ, and he still makes his own cuckoo crazy decisions. You know, but we pray sound mind. We pray sound mind and peace. And he's maturing now. So, but he has a better chance, obviously, you know. And then I have my other daughters who I did not raise as a saved Christian following, fear loving, fearing God woman. And they turned their lives around, you know. So each individual.
As a witch.
Yeah, I raised them as witches. Thank you, James. Yeah. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they know
it's
it.
Good for people to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, they talk about it because
just what God's done in your life. That's testimony.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Don't ever hide that.
So, and they've turned their life over to God. And now they have their own walk, and we talk about, you know, different things about what the Lord's doing in their life, which is beautiful. But so it doesn't matter. It's an individual journey. That's why step three is turn my will and my life over to the care of God as we understood him, meaning me privately. The way I understand God in this moment, I turn my life over to him daily. So in that moment, when you first come in to the kingdom, it's just one day at a time, like we say, sometimes 1 minute at a time. You know, when I first came into the kingdom, when I first came into Christianity, I don't know why I had a hunger and a thirst to pray all the time, just be on my knees with my hands up, just loving God, saying thank you, thank you. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know scripture. I was just in awe of what was happening to me, you know, and he honored it and blessed it, you know. So it's not like I had to do these extravagant, beautiful prayers and know the Bible. And no, he saw me, my heart, to want him more and more, which was more intimate, like we were talking about, than saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I mean, that's important, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is I didn't have to repeatedly do those things. I just had to be in his presence with love in my heart and a desire to be with him. Sometimes saying nothing, just crying, because I didn't know what to say. I didn't even know what was happening to me.
And that's why it says return to your first love, because that's what God wants.
Amen.
And we get too religious.
Yeah. So, okay. And in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's where we confess. That's being honest. Am I okay?
Yeah. You were just a little bit.
All right. Thank you.
May James, not affect it. I don't.
James is helping me out here because sometimes I'm very animated, and I think people kind of know that that are listening. So I'll like go into like, I'll make a left while I'm talking,
and I'll be won't be speaking into the mic.
I won't be talking into the mic. And since they've switched things over, it's a little bit more sensitive because I'm pretty loud. But
it's directional.
Yeah, it's directional. Thank you. So the Lord hears your cry. So just say, Father God, God, help me, I need you, or whatever it is that you're feeling, you guide me. Sometimes I read scripture. I was telling you earlier, too, when we were talking on the phone, and every time now, it wasn't always like this in the beginning because I didn't understand the Holy Spirit, but every time I don't understand something I'm reading, I say, God, I need the Holy Spirit to explain this to me. Holy Spirit, I'm going to read it until you teach it to me, and I'll read it. And then I understand it a little better, but then there might be a line I'm not too sure about. I'm going to read it again. And then before you know it, I'm clear. I got a clarity on it, you know. But he's faithful. I ask him, and he reveals the scriptures to me. And he will do it for you, for anyone. That's what his purpose is. We did the Holy Spirit. His purpose is to lead and guide us and teach us in all truth. And also to rebuke us when we're not, you know, that's that feeling of, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that, or ooh, maybe I shouldn't have watched that, or maybe done that. Mm. I ooh eat. The I ooh eats in our life. Right? So Jeremiah 14:7 says, "O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do it for your name's sake. For our backsliding are many. We have sinned against you." And this is step one. It's admitting I'm powerless over alcohol or over another person or a place or a thing or an emotion sometimes when I let it take over me. And that's why step three is submission, being humble, laying it down, submitting to God. No longer my will be done, but your will, Lord, be done. Okay? So, and that's about yielding. So when we admit, we yield our spirit. We get delivered from whatever it is, and then we glorify God. He, through us, we're an example of who God's work. Hallelujah. And that's in making the decision. Okay? It's a decision to follow God. There is the only action required is to just invite him in to do it, to be with you. And then four is where you start writing. You actually take the step of faith. But now it's a heartfelt decision. This is, I'm turning my life over to you, Lord. I trust in you. But you got to believe that. Because that's where people struggle, because they don't truly believe with all their heart. They believe in their head. They believe with their mouth, but in their heart, they're still tossing to and fro. And that can cause stumbling. It does cause stumbling when we're not fully sold out to God. Bought with his price. He bought us with the price, his blood. So when we're not fully his, because we're still trying to, we're in unbelief or we're doubting some of the stuff that we read. The Bible is literal. James, that was really good what you said earlier, that in those days, they didn't have like theology the way we know it or science as evolved. They just literally took the word for what the word was saying.
Yeah.
They didn't try to like break it down and microscope it and like, you know, try to make it like this kind of theologian or whatever, scientific formula. It was just, this is what God says. And I believe that. I do. I believe it's just the way he wrote it. He gave it to people to write is the way he means it. There's nothing really complicated about the Bible.
Yeah, 80% of the people, 70-80% of the people don't even have hot water in the world. And people sitting in a third world country. And it's sitting in a third world country under a tree and read the Bible and get it. And then
Amen.
The greatest theologians we have can read it and not get it.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Because yes. It's written for the simple.
It is.
But just we want to be understood.
Yeah, we want to get like mystical and in there. You don't need to.
And he said, I'll come to you shortly. And when I do, I'll he'll judge us by his power. He says that he's not persuaded by our wisdom.
Amen.
But the kingdom of God is in power.
Yes.
And we've lost the power and went to total wisdom and breaking down of words. And that's not, I do that too, but I'm just saying, this started, we were talking about, what's the word for where they're studying the yeah. atoms and the...
Yeah, they're studying atoms and stuff.
What's that word?
It'll come to me. Yeah. Uh-huh. I know. No, I don't remember what I said, the word that it is.
There's just a lot of people that are getting into it, and I can't think of the word for what I'm looking for, but it's like basically the science behind the way the atoms go when we do things or speak or to walk on water or to walk through a wall.
Yeah.
And they study, and there's nothing wrong with learning that stuff, but she was asking me about it, and I said, to be honest with you, we're getting really into that. There's a whole teaching coming out a lot, and the ones that just get more into just believing the word when and having faith in that are the ones that are moving into more power.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
This is about relationship.
Very simple. Very simple. And I believe it's very simple.
Quantum physics.
Yeah, that's quantum physics. Yeah, right.
Not saying anything's wrong with that.
Because there might be some truth.
No, there's
some
truth.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
but
that isn't real.
It's a rabbit trail, too. It could get us going in a further away.
Well, people with that kind of mind want to study that. Like, that's neat. It's neat to know how it's working, but the learning how it's working isn't going to get you walking on water. It's your relationship with Him and believing.
Amen.
Will get you walking on the water, Amen. Not whether you know what's happening or not. That's not right. That there's anything wrong with studying what's happening.
Because I'm very interested in studying behind the word. I am. Uh-huh. I like that too. But I do it more so that I can understand the context of it and the thing. And even a word. Sometimes He'll pull up a word for me. And like yielding today. Yielding was a word, right. But it was like, but to get into the mechanics, sometimes He'll show me something that's a little deeper of, like the DNA instead of the wine. It was really His DNA that turned it to Holy Spirit, being intoxicated by the Holy Spirit. Nobody told me that. That was totally Holy Spirit. And I believe it. I believe it because I deal with a lot of people who drink, and drinking is a problem for them. And that's the first thing they say. Well, Jesus did this. So Jesus gave me, the Holy Spirit gave me a whole thing that it was His finger, DNA, that intoxicated. That's why they never tasted anything like that. They never experienced that kind of wine. It was His DNA that they were experiencing. So I think God gives us things like that when it can get into that area. Like, well, how do you know? with a purpose, and it still can keep it very simple for me to be able to help others, So Jesus cried out to God the Father too. Matthew 27:46-50 says, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? Nahani. If anybody wants to call me out on that, that's fine. But it's Him crying out to the Lord, to God. Okay. Sabakani. It's okay. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? He cried that out on the cross. Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. Now, also the sour wine and all that, that was a numbing agent, and he was quenching for thirst. So that was almost like a temptation that he resisted. He chose to resist it. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. That's such a beautiful way to put it, of submission, humble surrender to your spirit, your will to God. And that's what he did. And that's what he calls us to. So when we cry out to God, it's crying out, I'm done. Like when I prayed that prayer, like, God help me. I don't even know. I wasn't in a relationship with God. I was young. And even after he helped me, I still didn't follow him. I mean, to some degree, he was back in my life, in my raising up in a religious way. But I was not a born-again believer. Okay, but I did cry out to God, and he did meet me there. And it got me closer to where I'm at today because of that. Okay. And sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. And it says that in our literature. But we have to work, work, work. That's what faith is too. Faith without works is dead. And faith and works, faithing, working to faith is not the way we do it. Faith motivates works. When I'm believing something, it motivates me to want to act on it, on whatever it is I'm believing. So that's like, if I believe that, I'm healed, and he says, then there's an action to take after that. So faith motivates. Hallelujah. So cry to God is an admission, a repentance, a confession, a submission, a yielding, of one coming to the end of themselves, of myself. I had to come to the end of myself in that drug. I was just doing drugs, you know, when I was young, and that kind of life. I had to get to the place where there was no more options. And that's where God is. And there's no more options, you know. And then he, because we give up trying our will, doing it my way. So I came to the end of myself and placed hope in God alone. No human power is left. No person, place, or thing can help me at this point. When I cried out, there was only, I was hoping, the only thing I could hope for was that God would intervene. Because nobody, not a person, place, or thing could ever help me before that. And he did use people, places, and things, but it was God through them, like a rehab and all that stuff. You know what I mean? But the point is, it was where I knew the man that I was totally in love with, I would have died for him, couldn't help me. My mother couldn't help me. A job couldn't help me. I did all that. Education wasn't helping me. None of that stuff. I had to get the hand of God to step in. So, and he did. Hallelujah. So we need to yield your spirit, free will. And I wrote here that when we yield our spirit, what are we yielding to, right? We're being lifted up. We can be lifted up. Once we surrender, he lifts us up to see what he sees. He's holding us to see what he sees, you know? And that's in James 4:6-8. When we humble ourselves to him, to God, and then resist the devil, and he will flee. But first I need to humble myself, right? That's spirit, soul, and body. So Luke 15:18 says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And that's what we do, 1, 2, and 3. It's like, okay, God, here I am, the prodigal son's home. I'm turning my will and my life over to your care, and I need you to lead and guide me, because my way, the world's way, does not work, and everything, all the resources of the world can't help me. Only you can. Only heavenly resources can help me. Psalms 18:6 says, but in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. Hallelujah. Faith heals or hurts depending on what you are faithing in. So I can either faith in godly things, word things, or I can faith in ungodly things, worldly things, and be hurt. I can be healed and delivered, faithing in what God says is truth, or I can faith in what the world says is truth and wind up always, no matter what. It doesn't matter what it looks like. My spirit, my being is hurt, is living in a negative. Even though I might have all the riches of the world, I'm still lacking in the spiritual growth, in the spiritual realm. Whereas I might not have all the riches of the world, but my spiritual growth is beyond what this world can offer me. Hallelujah. And that's for everyone. Everyone can have that relationship with God. Everyone can have that experience. Everyone has access to everything God offers us in the kingdom of heaven. But the shift is in the mind, the mindset. The more you know about the principles of the kingdom of God, the easier it is to walk by faith. That's why we need to know his word, and we need to know legally. You know, James and I, we talk about legal rights. We need to know what legally is ours and what legally the enemy has rights over if we're not obedient to certain things. Right, James?
Amen.
And then, you know, we want to wonder why our life is going cuckoo crazy.
Yes, people think they're in spiritual warfare. And, man, most people, 99% of the people you talk to, they're just in disobedience.
That's right.
It's not spiritual warfare. It's disobedience.
That's right.
The enemy's just got a right to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they're doing any plundering. And God's got a protection agent around you where you'll wonder why. Well, I've prayed and commanded demons to leave people. I didn't see nothing. I don't think it's real. I'm like, yeah, because you have no authority because you're walking in disobedience. So ain't no demon listening to you.
And if people knew, I mean, this is just coming up right now in my heart to say, but if people knew how much God does do without us knowing what really can happen to us, you know what I mean? There's so much intercessory with angels and things that are happening in our life that we have no idea, you know, because other people's prayers or whatever that could have really harmed us, really, you know what I mean? God's always working. He's always doing things. But if we got the revelation, then we, you know, we can really walk very close and intimate and free in our in our life here, in the as it is in heaven here on earth. Hallelujah.
A bunch of your prayers are praying for your children, or you may not see them, but doesn't mean those prayers aren't working. Might be after you're gone. I've only had two open visions. One was the Lord appearing to me. The other one was I was driving on I-75 with a guy, a pastor, actually. I was racing out of town. And there was a girl walking clear as day in front of me. When we got about 50 feet from her, she disappeared. And I was like, oh. And I didn't say anything to him. I was just praying. I was like, Lord, what was that? Was that an angel? And I'm like, well, there's no angels walking on I-75. I'm going, what in the world was that? And I'm just talking. What in the heck was that? Because, I mean, I was seeing her with my eyes. And then all of a sudden he jerks the truck. Oh, my God, that lady's going to get hit. Did you see that woman? I said, man, I had an open vision back there. And I said, we got to go pick her up. Picked her up. She's out of gas. She was trying to flag people down. When we picked her up, we had to go way. It was a long drive to the exit and then the next exit to go back. And we'd have never probably done that. Because it was such a long drive, I hadn't had that vision. And about hit her coming, she's starting to go up a bridge, and she's getting in front of traffic trying to stop people. And she's a little tipsy, young, probably in her 20s. And we pick her up, go take her to get a gas can. She's out of gas. Her friend's at the truck, her SUV. And we were standing in this store, and I told the guy with me, I said, this woman has a lot of preachers in her family. And he says, how do you know that? And I said, God don't make me, because he made me fast. Went to a steak place. He made me not eat and embarrass myself in front of everybody. I'd ordered a bunch of food. And I said, God don't make me fast to get my first open vision I've ever had in my life to save this woman unless people are really praying for her. He says, ma'am, do you have any preachers in your family? She goes, oh, yeah, you bet I do. And she starts naming about eight people. My Uncle Larry, he's a preacher in my own. And he's looking at me like, holy cow. And I was like, yeah, because it's the intercession. We don't realize what it's doing. And she may be dead if it wasn't for that.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of stuff going on spiritually that we have no idea. Because we're really only focused usually on ourselves. Just saying.
Yeah, that's just.
I'm just saying. So, I was reading today. I was studying for this. And then Pastor Tom had the same scripture in our thing, you know, when I get it every day. So I felt like, wow, this is going to be something we're going to talk about. So it says, go for faith, for your faith has healed you. So for me, it's delivered from drugs, anger, fornication, all these things that, you know, anger, resentment, fear. Those were the things that I was healed of, delivered of. All right. Mark 10:46-52 says, Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, when he heard the word was nearby, he began to shout, and this is the cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And then, be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. Usually that's what happens. It's like But he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called to the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on. He's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside. This is where the born again experience comes in. He threw aside his coat. He took off his old garments, right? Jumped up and came to Jesus. That's step two. So step one is shouted louder, cried out to God. That's it. He's the only one. The word's the only thing that's going to help me, save me, rescue me, deliver me, heal me, comfort me, love me, whatever it is you're going through. And then he came to Jesus. That's the born again step two experience, right? And then what does it say? It says, what do you want me to do for you? And this is step three. Jesus asked, my rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go. Step three. This is it. Step three and four. For your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see. And he followed. This is step three going into step four, because, you know, step four is actually taking action down the road. Hallelujah. So that's one, two, and three right there. Make a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God, the care of God's love, healing, grace, mercy, deliverance, freedom, whatever it is you're going through, security. So Bartimaeus was not healed instantly. He had to take some actions by faith. He said, get up, take his jacket off, do his thing, and then he got it, right? So there was hope as he was throwing that. Think about all the stages. He got up. There was hope in that, those actions. And then hope and faith collide. And what do we have? The man's will, God's will, colliding miracles. Hallelujah. In agreement. Needed to act on Jesus' command through thought and faith to act. So his mind had to change and his actions had to change. And that's your soul and your body. His spirit was whole. He got up, he was running, and he had to make a mind shift and action take place to line up with what his mind shift, what his mind, the faith in his heart and his mind was telling. So Jeremiah 33:33 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So I looked up the word care, because we're turning our life over to the care of God. We should probably know what that means, right? It's a state of mind, actually. So it's the care. What's God's mind like? What's his intention? What's his thoughts for us? His plans? His purpose? What's the kingdom? What's the king thinking? God has desires, thoughts, things unseen, and then he speaks them out. So we have to do the same thing. We're designed in his image and likeness. The way he operates is the way he operated us to be, you know? So it's an action of protection or feelings of affection, of love. It's truth. It's feelings of love, oversight, provision of what is needed for the health, safety, and well-being of someone, responsibility for or attention to health, well-being, and safety. And that is health, well-being, safety is step four. Health is resentments. He wants us in good health, because when we have resentments, what does that do to us, James? Bitterness, anger, strife. What does it do? Come on.
Arthritis, cancer.
Right.
Lots of things.
Gets ugly in there, right? Well-being, that's your fears. If you're afraid of everything, how could you live well? You're too afraid to do the things that God has created us to do here. And then harms done, whether they're sexual, it's also intimate relationship harms, relational harms done to people. That's your body. That's using your actions to hurt another person. Harms done. And that's the third column. That's the third sheets in the fourth step. So God wants us spirit, soul, and body, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father God, complete in God, man and God in agreement, right? So that we can be the miracle for others to see, his miracle. Praise the Lord. And that's protection and care. So we have to turn, if we don't turn our life and our will over to God, we're still going to fight. We're fighting. We're rebels. we're disobedient, we're rebels, we're zealots. In the, if you read the Bible, we were all over the place. Or we can be obedient and disciples of Jesus. Discipline. Discipline, disciples, obedient children of God. He knows us by our fruit, right? The ones who love him. Listen to him. Follow him. Believe in him. Trust him. If you don't trust him because you don't know him, you're not going to turn your will and your life over to him. So that is that. Now we'll talk a little bit about more about faith, okay? All right, so complete confidence, belief, and trust in what? So you ask yourself, what am I faithing in? We faith all day long. We're faithing in things, right? We're trusting in things. So I'm going to read chapter 11 in Hebrews 1, chapter 11, 1. This is great examples of faith. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So we need the hope, and that's in step one. Step two, one and two is hope, right? We confess, we hope that when I see other people living, breathing examples of God, God's work, right? I can aspire to get to have that in my life, right? And then faith is step three. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earn a good reputation, and that's a good testimony. It's a good testimony. Your lifestyle, when you live by faith, walk by faith, it's a lifestyle. Faith is an action. It's a lifestyle. It's a decision to walk a certain way, to talk a certain way, to think a certain way. And we get free will to do that. But God's not going to force us. The more we know him, the easier it is to flow with him. You know, it just becomes part of your life, who you are, your being, because you're one with him. All right. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. So first it was a thought. It was an idea. And then he spoke it. So we have to know that the word should be our thoughts and ideas. And then speak it.
And faith is believing the word over the circumstance.
Yes. Amen. So if God says, by my stripes you are healed, then, you know, I have to declare that and believe that and declare it until I absolutely believe it. Just keep saying it.
That's why faith says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
If you hear your whole life, your parents, you know, you're a loser, you're going to be in prison.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that 5 million times and then you can read the Bible once, I'm the son of God. You need to mow that over and chew on that a little bit more.
Right. It's the same thing.
As we keep reading the word over.
Mm-hmm.
Then our faith grows.
Right. Because it's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of thinking, his way of speaking, of living, his will. And these things will be added. The transformation starts to happen. We can't, it's very hard. I mean, some things were quick, you know, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Some things were quickened, immediately changed in me.
Mm-hmm.
But there were things that, you know, got revealed, because if I did it right away, I would have been overwhelmed. I wouldn't have understood it. I had to grow in my relationship with God before he can reveal certain things so that I can understand it, you know, not as a personal attack, like, and then say, why is this happening to me, or blame another person. I had to take it as a correction in love. But some things are held back until we're mature enough. Those things.
Yeah, and it messes with your mind a lot if he just did everything. I mean, I've seen people get where they had a lot of deliverance at one time, and they're like, man, I feel really weird because I don't feel like myself anymore, because all these feelings are gone that weren't godly feelings, you know?
Yeah.
And they feel really weird for a little while, getting used to not feeling what they thought was themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. So, like I was saying before, it was by faith, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. So everything you look at started out in God's soul, his thoughts, his mind, his will, his emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he spoke it. He had a plan. When you do something, before you write, before you speak, there's a thought, you know? Sometimes that's a problem. We do it before we're thinking. We don't think it through and we just blurt something. That's why he says, take captive the thought. Make sure it lines up with his thoughts. Life goes a lot easier when we're lining up with what God has for us, right? So we made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood him. Living sacrifice to God. Turn your will, your soul, and your life, your spirit, your inner man, over to God. All right? And then your body will follow. When I came in the rooms or when I first, anything I do that was going against God, I was being led by body. And then, you know, if it felt good, was good, I was convinced in the mind I had to do it, you know. But the body was needed the pleasure and then told the mind, you see, doesn't that feel good? And then the mind rebelled against the body and said, oh, no, that wasn't good. But the spirit was grieving the whole time. And sometimes still now I have to experience something like that, not in a horrific degree anymore, but in something maybe I said, you know, where I'd be like, oh, I let the body go ahead of me, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we yield, we take it back, we sit with the Lord, confess, Father, forgive me, for, you know, show me how you want me to correct this. Is there, and he'll make a way. He really will. You know, he gives direction if we ask, but he's not going to force. So Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Good, acceptable, perfect. I think of that as spirit, soul, body. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know, like that's, I always think of things as the wholeness of who God is and the wholeness of who man, God created man to be one with him. Mm-hmm. You know, Trinity to Trinity. And the oneness that we should be having. Our spirit, soul, and body with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Man, God, one. Hallelujah. So faith is needed. We live by faith. In order to put, lay down, and this is what that means, move to a particular position, our will and our life in God's care, and that's the provision of what is necessary for the healthy welfare, maintenance, and protection of someone or something. Faith is needed, okay? We cannot just give the keys to our home with all our valuables, our heart, right? The treasures of our heart to just anybody. I was doing that my whole life. I thought I was protecting myself and I had all these great walls of China around me. But they were crumbling. You know, they were easily blown up. And I was blowing them up, basically, you know? Mm. So we have to know who we're giving our life to. It's the same thing that once I understood my relationship with God and the marriage I have with God, I understand now not only, you know, my friendships, my parenting, my being a daughter, my being an ex-wife, being a friend, all these things are like a marriage. You know, it's like, you know, the love and everything that God taught me is where I bring that same relationship in every area of my life. But I was not, I didn't know. That's why all my relationships were really unhealthy, no matter how good they were or how bad they were, all unhealthy, until we allow God to show us what a healthy relationship looks like. And it takes trust, and it takes long-suffering. Everything that God tells us love is, we have to experience that with God.
Good. Just all dying to self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody's out to make themselves better. Amen. In relationship.
Yeah. So, unfortunately. I know, and you know, listen, the old man is dead. But the problem is we're still living in the thoughts of the soul, of your mind, mood, will, and emotion. So we need to get out of the grave. You know, we're laying there thinking all these things. We have to get out. And that's where step four comes in. But we got so much more to do on step three. And I don't want to go too much more into this right now because we're at the end of our hour, basically, very soon. So, and we want to pray the prayer of salvation. So we could do that.
Okay. Anyone listening that doesn't know the Lord, that is feeling tugged at, they would like to ask him to come into their heart and save them. God is willing and able. Just to repeat after me, the Bible says in Romans 10:9-10 that if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and rose the third day, and you confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. Mm-hmm. For with a man's heart believes, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that's that's how you enter in. And people say, oh, that don't, you can't just go on living like you did. Yeah, but that's how it started for me, and I've let a lot of people in that. And yeah, some of them didn't come, but many of them did. And so if you want to ask the Lord in your heart, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died on the cross.
I know you died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I know you rose the third day.
And I know you rose the third day.
I ask you to come in my heart.
I ask you to come in my heart.
Be Lord of my life.
Be Lord of my life.
And save me.
And save me.
And I surrender to you.
And I surrender to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, and if you have any questions, you can always call me at 631-745-7980. And again, I attend Pastor Tom's Church's Treasure Coast Victory Center. That you're listening to Kingdom Recovery. And you could always call the station if you want more information or some literature or prayer or some deliverance. We'll pray for you for that too. So we just bless everyone listening, and we thank you for joining us today. And we are very excited to be back with you next week. So we hope you all join us, and we love you. Shalom, shalom. We agape you. Have the best week ever.
Amen.
And you're listening to WCNO 89.9. Thank you. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information on Youth Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. Sing out a new melody, yeah.